Let's go.
Bingetown, how we feeling tonight? It's your boy Dave here with Kyle and longtime friend of the pod, Alki. We are back again here to bring you anime content with Attack on Titan, episode 78, Two Brothers. All right. As a reminder, Kyle here is an anime only watcher. Alki and I have finished the manga. This will be a no manga spoiler coverage of just the anime.
Yes.
Let's just get right into it with what were the overall thoughts of the episode, starting with our rookie here, Kyle.
I feel like I was trying to remind myself to breathe for like a lot of the episode. We talked about it when we just watched, and I couldn't believe the halfway point was a halfway point. Like Gabby shooting Eren felt like the end of the episode, and then there were still 12 more minutes, and we'll get to the ratings at the end, but this was definitely the best episode of season 4 and one of the best episodes probably of the series.
On the last episode of the podcast, I had foreshadowed that Eren getting his head blown off would be what I hinted at was I thought that was going to be the end of the episode. And Kyle even looked at us when there was like, when he got his head shot off and he was like, dude, I can't believe that. That was just a crazy episode. I was like, we're only halfway. Like it rolled the mid credit scene.
It's ridiculous.
Alki, what were your thoughts?
I thought that based on the pacing of episode 2, I thought that the episode would end on Zeke awakening all the Titans who have drank in the spinal fluid.
Yeah.
So I was pleasantly surprised to see that happen like one quarter through the episode.
Yeah, that was pretty early.
I think it's really cool the differences between the anime and the manga, because I'm pretty sure in the manga a chapter ended with Eren's head getting blown off. It right? Did. That yeah, was like that the, was last panel
the last
of a
panel
chapter. Of the... And like I've said before, chapters don't come out for a month. So you're waiting for a month. What the fuck happened?
Yeah.
So it was pretty ridiculous. Sweet. We got spoiled. Like I was telling Dave after we just watched it like 20 minutes ago. That was like 5 chapters, I think, something like that in the whole episode. So it was great. I was really happy with the way it went. The first half was so quick. Kyle said, yeah. Actually, the first half felt like so much. And then the second half with everything that happened in it went by so quick.
Yeah.
So it was a good episode. Great episode. Best episode by far in this little part 2, arguably maybe the whole season.
Yeah. I'm going to agree on that take as well. This was by far the best episode, at least of these 3 episodes. Could even be the best of all of the season 4 so far. Crazy episode. I will say, though, that I think because of how it felt reading it and with last episode being a lot of just build up for this episode, that's why they were able to get the Titan scream off just within the first quarter of the episode.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
But let's get into it again. So we open with Galliard just again taking massive L's to Eren, just getting wrecked. And Magath luckily saves him with his impeccable shooting, which yeah. I got to give him credit to that. He barely missed Zeke's nape. And now he's like sniping Eren in the exact ways he wanted him to, like through the head, blasts off his arm and manages to save him from Galliard. But Galliard is literally like, we see him in the nape too. He's missing a piece of his face. So he's just in the worst shape.
Eren absolutely beats the shit out of him. I was crazy. That was like, holy fuck, this episode is already off to like an amazingly hot start. And Eren's just a fucking beast. I remember season 1 and he was the worst almost. When I was watching this episode, I remember thinking back to watching season 1 and being like, but the main character is so annoying. Like the show is good, but the main character is so annoying.
Yeah.
And then now to see where he's at, where he was just absolutely giving Galliard the business. It's like, it feels great to watch. I loved it.
I think Galliard's getting absolutely manhandled every moment he's on the screen. It's ironic because he keeps talking about how he's like better than Reiner or whatever, and he gets fucking worked every moment. So
now he's getting a taste. Funny. Like he's looking down on Reiner this whole time. Like you didn't like finish the mission. You didn't do a good job of it. Yada yada yada. You're never as good as me. And like now he's getting a taste of what Reiner had to deal with. And like to him, I hope he's having this realization. It's just like, you're not the best one out there.
He totally didn't. The last thing he said before he died was that I'm better than you, Reiner.
It totally wasn't. Yeah, it totally
like,
wasn't.
What the fuck, bro? Like, Reiner's the only one that's really given Eren, I feel like, a fight. Yeah. I mean, like, him and Annie had a good fight, but that was when Aaron was back in the beginning of his powers, while Annie was like a trained Titan soldier almost. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but him and Reiner have good fights. Reiner's a fucking beast.
I think
Reiner's a beast.
If you put Annie against Aaron right now, like Aaron just pre Warhammer Titan, I think Aaron still
pulverizing.
Yeah, I think it's just that's just crazy and how strong
he's only used the Warhammer as a last resort.
Yeah, it really has been
thing when he's like back in the corner. So most of his combat that we've seen has been just pure fighting and with the upgraded hardening, which is cool.
He just gives everyone the hands.
It's really hockey. Funny. It's basically hockey.
Kind of,
true.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, while that's going on, Armin and the not the scouts, who is it? It's the ones with roses on the back of whatever that
regiment, garrison.
Yeah, the garrison decides to sneak attack the enemy but from behind. Alki at this moment in time was like, this is so stupid. And
I remember saying out loud, I was like, why? What do you mean? This feels smart to me.
And even Armin on screen is agreeing with us. And so they decide to flank.
True, because everybody thinks Zeke's dead. Like Zeke's down. Yeah,
everything is over for them. Yeah. Like, let's just capture him and whatever.
But yeah.
In the meantime, Reiner touches Galliard and has flashbacks of his brother protecting him and Reiner being sent to the island, all of that stuff, which kind of touches Galliard, obviously, because he realizes that his older brother who had died on the island made a sacrifice for him. Like, he didn't want to be in this exact position that he's in right now. And he's having a heartfelt moment, which is cool for Galliard. I mean, it was a cool scene for him. Like, he's not a great character, but I thought it was a nice moment.
Yeah.
And honestly, two brothers, name of the episode, obviously Zeke Aaron and then Colton Falco. But I did not expect this. This was, I guess, technically, someone might have said it while we watched, but three brothers.
Yeah, it could have been a three brother.
Dave said that, and I didn't. When I saw the title of the episode, I immediately thought Aaron and Zeke and Colt and what's his name, Falco. Yeah. But then, you know, when they did the whole little memory connection of Galliard and Marco, right? Mm-hmm. That's when I was like, no, it's not. What was his name? What's Galliard?
Oh, Galliard, brother? And
it's something with an M.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Well, his name is like Porco also, right? They call him
Porco. Porco Galliard is his name, I think.
Oh, okay. I forgot that, but he just gets his ass kicked.
Yeah. I mean, this was
That's how I'll always remember him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this was the trajectory. I mean, based on how his previous fights with Aaron were going, this is bound to happen at some point, what eventually happens to him.
And supposedly he's supposed to have awakened the Jaw Titan to a further extent versus Ymir.
Yeah.
And you see that by that armored jaw that he has. It didn't come to fruition at all for us as the audience.
That's a cool concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's obviously weaker. It's obviously weaker than Aaron's hardening and Reiner's already shell. But like, I think obviously it would take a lot of hits, but it just so happens that Aaron is the perfect counter for him.
But it did show us in the beginning of season 4 in the Marley raid that the jaw can break the Warhammer hardening shit. So that was a good detail. That's what he used to capture the Warhammer.
I think he has a cool Titan, and like the way that he could fight with like how elusive he is, and then the biting is like interesting, but he just Aaron's just a savage.
I kind of like how they had Falco eat him. I know I'm probably jumping ahead of your
that's fine.
Your schedule, but I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it was a great.
That was just like moment after moment of, oh my god, this is happening. Oh my god, this is happening. Oh my god, this is about to happen.
I know, and it was only half an episode.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And then this is where we get the name of the episode. We get Colt and Falco arriving on the scene just as Zeke is about to scream and unleash all the Titans onto both Marlians and Eldians on the island. It's a really touching moment from Colt, because you know he's talking to Zeke and he's like, you're the only one in the like one of the only people in the world that can understand the bond between two brothers. And Zeke does say, yes, like, I do understand that, but his purpose to him is so much more greater than that. It's a shame is what he says, and he just unleashes a scream and everybody in the fucking world just became Titans, basically. Yeah. It is so wild.
So cold-blooded, man. When he goes, it's a shame, or that's a shame, we were all like, oh my god.
I laughed because I said it in our last recording. I was like,
Yeah, he don't.
This care. Is not going to fucking matter. He does not going to care that. This
I honestly,
kid has
I agreed with you when we talked about it, but in the moment watching, yeah, I yeah. was questioning, like, oh shit, like what is he going to do? Right
I mean,
here?
Colt yeah. brought up some great points. He was hitting home. Like he even said, he was like, I don't understand you. I've never understood you, and even right now, what you're doing, I don't understand. But plead with me on this case of like, I have a brother.
Yeah,
and you know what that feels like. And it just doesn't work for him. He's so much more committed to the euthanization of Eldians that he screams and Falco becomes the penis titan.
That's, so. Is that what people say?
That's what you heard it here, bro.
That's funny.
But yeah, no, also
he has a weird look.
And also at the same time, we see Pixis, all the MPs zoom out of the entire, I don't even know where they are, scene, like Wall Maria. Like
Pixis again, one last sip.
Yeah. Yeah,
and for his death, Savage, by the way.
Yeah, that's one last sip. Like he even says right before, like the his last line before that was, "I should probably stop drinking."
Yeah,
and he's drinking.
I wanted to touch on one thing. I think in the manga, when I read it, and Colt pleaded to Zeke, they did a good job of showing Zeke clearly distraught by these news that Falco had drinking the yeah. wine or
it
had.
Sucked that it happened.
It sucked him. That it happened, but. You know, I just thought it was cool. You see that little bit of humanity of Zeke, because even though he's clearly psycho, he does love those kids. He yeah. loves Falco. Even when he was captured with Levi, he's like, oh, can I show Gabby and Falco these woods? Like, they'd really like this. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a good way to show that everybody has a distorted sense of humanity in this world.
Yeah.
You know, and we're really seeing that right now. And you've obviously been seeing it with Reiner a great deal. I wish we were seeing more emotion out of Aaron.
Yeah.
Because I think while he was annoying in like the first part of the anime, when we first got introduced to him, it's also what made him a great character was his passion for eliminating all the Titans. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until the second half of this episode where you get any glimpse of his true feelings.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I do miss just some of that raw emotion out of him. I understand why he's got like PTSD times 50,000.
As you say that,
it's crazy.
As you say that, it reminded me there is a small part in this episode though that right before Zeke screams and right before Colt shows up with Falco, Aaron's telling him to stop because
he does
realize the implications of like Pixis will literally be dead if he does this, and he doesn't want.
Yeah.
I'm sure he doesn't care.
I remember feeling that way too.
I'm sure he even has thoughts of it for Falco too. Like with that news for him, like that's crazy for him because he liked Falco. He had a real bond with him in Marley.
Yeah.
Gabby also gets a glimpse of Falco getting changed, and she starts to cry.
Now that I'm thinking about it, he has like that super long neck.
Mm.
Like, do even regular Titans, can they impact what they look like as a Titan?
That's something that I've been wondering too. Yeah. It's like, because, you know, Bertholdt was like 6'5", I'm pretty sure. And he was obviously the Colossal Titan, blah, blah, blah. Armin is obviously significantly shorter than Bertholdt. Does that mean the Colossal Titan kind of shrinks to Armin's level of height in that? Or are they going to still be that same height?
That Falco would make his neck long.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't get why.
No one else looked like that.
I've never seen it. That was the most bizarre looking Titan.
Yeah. He is always putting his neck out there, though.
Maybe. I don't know.
You think he
that was, yeah.
He's like, yeah.
Dude, maybe he gives great. Maybe it's an innuendo that he gives great neck. Anyway.
Yeah, that's why Gabby's so pissed.
Yeah, Gabby's
she
pissed.
Was robbed like, of that.
I think we've seen like a lot of abnormals get spawned by Zeke. I wonder if he's responsible, if he can control that,
And also something I've been picking up is the more like quote unquote fresher Titans are more lively. Like when the moment Zeke transformed the town of Connie's parents, like into Titans, like they were active during the night. Like they were all kind of aberrants almost. Like
that's what I mean.
I don't
that's
have I mean. An actual answer. That's just what I've kind of noticed is that the more fresh you turn into a Titan, the more energy you have. So.
I never even realized during my reading that he, like, it's very visible in the anime that they're nuts.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Zeke's Titans are nuts. Fucking that wasn't wild. Very obvious in the way manga, I felt. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be shitting bricks if I saw that running at me. Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. And then so here we get Reiner's kind of in this. Oh, we also see a shot of Colt rest in peace. That man is burned. Yeah. He got the Armin treatment right there.
Yeah, he did.
He got the Armin treatment.
I don't know why he would hug him.
He's like, don't worry.
Wouldn't he
wouldn't
he hold more value if he ran away and maybe tried to like, I don't know, do something? Whatever.
It's just caught in the moment, I guess.
It's his brother. I would be upset.
Colt is definitely dead in this moment for sure. Reiner's kind of caught in this pickle because now he has to work between fighting Eren and also the Titan form of Colt. And he's kind of, he makes a decision in his mind that he has to be the one to kill Falco, which is such a burden on Reiner because I love how the anime is treating Reiner. Like, I just feel for the guy so much more than I did in the manga. Again, maybe it's because it's week to week. It's all coming out more quickly, but my attachment to Reiner now is just so much greater. And I just can't get over the fact that, like, he had that thought of killing Falco. And I was like, damn, this man is just being put through it. Like, if he wasn't already suicidal enough, like, this is the moment that
before the time skip, I was like, fuck Reiner. And I agree. Fuck Bertolt, yeah, fuck agree. Annie. Now I'm like, damn, this guy has gone through it. I mean, they're so brainwashed. It's so sad. It really is so sad.
Reiner's life is just unbelievably difficult and sad. Mm-hmm. Like, he had, like, making that decision between, like, he has to stop Eren, but like Eren's also his friend.
Yeah.
So it's not even like it's like pure enemy versus like a friend with Falco. Like, it's a friend and a friend kind of in a way.
No, yeah. Cause I think Eren's still, like, Eren loves Reiner too. Yeah. I mean, he's obviously been pissed for years, but I think that Eren has, I think it can be inferred that he has similar feelings.
Yeah.
Not as suicidal as Reiner is. No. I think Eren Reiner's has way broken more down.
Of a purpose. Yeah. Reiner just like, feel like he just kind of drifts from assignment to assignment.
He's being torn.
Yeah.
And there's a moment where Reiner kind of focuses on Eren for a second, which allows Falco's Titan form to kind of attack him from the back to his nape a little bit. He starts chewing into it a little bit. And Reiner's looking at him. And then as he's looking at Falco, Eren's kind of kicking him in the face, to which General Maggoth shoots another bullet. And
I'm sorry, that's like the 80th time we've messed up his title. But the best part is that they do it in the show.
Yeah,
That's so great, dude. He and Peak and those squad have been absolutely just stuffing the stat sheet in this fight.
I like Maggot.
They've done so much by just standing on the walls and fucking shit up. Mm-hmm. I was shocked.
I respect Maggot. I can't say I like him because he's still like a racist to his core. Like, he still hates Ellie.
Well, I'm just saying I like his character.
I agree. Like, this is definitely, this scene is making me appreciate him more. And I agree with Peak too. Like, I really like how Peak is just so versatile here. And so Maggot takes a shot. It shoots, it blows off Eren's arm and kind of pins him in the brain a little bit.
This is he shoots Zeke here the second time.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. He shoots Zeke the second time. And to kind of confirm that he confirms that he's killed. Everyone's like, oh my God, it's over. Reiner's like, oh my God, it's over.
Yeah.
We know that's not Reiner's over.
About to let Falco kill him because he's like, finally.
Yeah. At that point in time, he's just like,
sweet release of death.
Death by cop.
Yeah. That's kind of what happened.
Yeah. I know.
But his relief isn't long lasting. Yeah. It isn't long lasting. To Falco releases off his nape a little bit and starts running behind him, and he notices that Galliard is released from his Titan form and is standing there with his, again, face half eaten or shot off, and he's kind of talking to himself a little bit. He's reminiscing of his brother and just saying that he just really appreciated, it seems like he just had appreciation for his life, and I guess he had some regrets, it seemed like, in his moment. Like, he understands where his brother was coming from, but this is just the circle of life. In Attack on Titan, you have the duty to just get eaten if you need to, and this was his duty.
If you have the power.
If you have the power, and if you seize the opportunity to which, you know, one of your loved ones is a helpless Titan, you can just make this decision.
Yeah, that's actually a crazy thought that they can do that.
This is just the circle of life. Is just being
that's
eaten.
Crazy.
That's, I mean, that's what Eren's dad did.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's also just, he was also getting that one last shot, and I feel like he kind of died almost with like a smile on his face, where he could tell Reiner, like, I saved you, you motherfucker. Like, I'm better than you are.
Mm-hmm. I think also, even though he said those words, I think that after that little mind connect, I think he understands Reiner a little more, probably.
Yeah, they only really show the memories that impact Galliard. They don't really show what he is feeling off of Reiner.
Because, you know, he does say that backhanded thing, but he's kind of just saying, like, ah, like,
yeah, he's fucking
it's
with
fine.
His boy.
Like, you know, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, we fuck around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he had those bold last words saying, I always was better than you, which is just not true. And so Galliard is eaten by Falco. We don't see it, but Falco has now become the Jaw Titan.
The fact that that is like such a background thing to everything that happened is
insane. You don't even think about it. Like, it's,
like I completely almost forgot about that until you just said it.
Yeah, that he turned into.
Yeah, like I remember he ate Galliard, but wasn't in the moment considering the repercussions that he was now the Jaw Titan.
Right,
he was so focused on the fact that Zeke has been shot twice, like Aaron's escaping from Ryan, or like all that shit was.
Well, that's funny you say that because in the while I was reading the manga, I always say those few words. But while I was reading. obviously, you know, he gets eaten and later on you can obviously you're going to figure out that Falco is the Jaw Titan, right? Like I didn't remember how he got it. It was so long between chapters where I'm just like, oh, he's the Jaw Titan. And then like at the end, I'm like, oh, he's a Jaw Titan. And that, and it wasn't until the rewatch that I connected the dots. I'm like, oh yeah, this is how he is how becomes the Jaw Titan.
I would have never guessed
because it was, there's so much going on. Where that's such a big piece of information. Like, if that, imagine if something like that happened in season one.
If that happened last episode, too, like, that would have been a big moment. Would have been like, whoa, that episode was crazy.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been glossed over. Yeah,
yeah, but now it's like 10th.
And so also going into him becoming the Jaw Titan, like, it's interesting because Falco wanted to become the Armored Titan over Gabby.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting that Galliard stepped in there just because it could have even brought it a little bit more of a deeper meaning behind him eating Reiner here. But obviously this means that Reiner still has a part to play left in all of this. That's why that's why the author chose to save him here, I think. But it would have been I think in the moment, it would have been a better coming
very out. Poetic.
Yeah, it would have been very poetic in this moment. But obviously there's still some gas left in Reiner.
Like the author does not give a fuck about poetic.
No, he's just like, you're
trying
feelings,
to fuck with everyone. Yeah,
your feelings crumble, throw them in the fucking trash. You're just gonna, everyone's dead.
I'm definitely picking that vibe up.
Yeah,
me and empath sensing that he fucking hates us.
In a fit of rage, Reiner tries to attack Aaron, but Aaron was totally ready for it and just captures him with his hardening ability, escapes out of his hardening ability. So big Reiner move. Is still stuck there and continues to run to Zeke, who we find out is not dead. Obviously, even a shot.
That was poetic, actually, that he used Peek's move to like fake being dead.
Yeah, that was
actually poetic. So look at that. We make a statement and we debunk ourselves a minute later.
Yep. Reiner is almost about to capture Aaron with his arm, but Squad shows up. We get, I think it's Armin and Jean who are the ones who fire the Thunder Spear to stop the arm from capturing Aaron.
Yeah, Brent. True. Yeah. No, it's
isn't it Connie?
It's Gene and Connie.
Gene and Connie. Yeah. And so, all right, this is where things get really crazy. So Aaron is running to Zeke, and we get all these crazy shots of what everyone's doing. Like Armin looks like he's about to be eaten by Peek, and Mikasa's fucking slaying dudes on the walls and everything. And then out of nowhere, we get a shot of Gabby, who is holding an anti-Titan cannon rifle, and Aaron looks over and Gabby starts to cry and pulls the trigger and just blows Aaron's head off.
My heart's like racing as you start saying those words. Like that was like fucking insane. I did not think that Gabby was going to come back and like make that big of an impact. And that's like the biggest impact you could possibly make in the story is to kill Aaron Yeager. And the fact that
she's like the LVP, least valuable player.
She just, my God, man. He is like a little sadistic making us just hate this chick. Like,
I know, it's just so like a little crazy. Girl. You know?
She's literally a little girl, brainwashed. Like, feel bad for her, but fuck her. It's like, gross, so crazy.
This
and
is I where
liked
I
liked when they did the slideshow stuff, kind of like everyone, like in that moment, like what they were doing. And then just the sound of the rifle and the shot of his head, like twirling in the air was like unbelievable. Like, my mouth was open, like, I can't imagine another series showing me that visual of the main character's head like spinning in the air like that. Like, that was unbelievable.
Definitely the best moment of the three episodes we've gotten. I just couldn't. This is really where I thought the episode was going to end. I just couldn't believe that we were only halfway through the episode when we got here.
When it showed that like halfway through point, I was like, what? Because I remember seeing his head getting shot off and I'm like, wait, so like, how far are we? Like, yeah. Like I thought we were like, I thought it was done. Oh, I really God, yeah. did.
Because I had been holding my breath for the past 10 fucking minutes. Like, it felt like an eternity had passed at that point. My heart was fucking racing.
We got the couple shots of Zeke's reaction too. And he is like, he just watched his plan literally blow up in his face. Like, yeah. To him, it was all over. However, yeah, we get that last
let him know
second shot of him catching Aaron's head. And all those really felt like those shots really felt like the manga in itself. It was just like panel to panel, true. Just no words.
Yeah, that was
like
cool. That's a good point. Yeah.
So I really liked those shots. They were really well, like just the HD, like high definition, just CGI.
I also remember thinking with the Mikasa one that it looked amazing. Both the one where before he gets shot down. And that one, the one where it's just her face great art, like the shading or like the line weight. Was like amazing, and then the one where it was like the slideshow of her like moving as a still picture, that looked great.
Yeah, I love when you can like when it's zooming in through the town, like it just gives you a perspective.
And we mentioned it when we were watching the episode, but like the show itself, it happens in so much 3D. Like the 3D maneuver gear is like the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That was one of the craziest things of season one, was how like how they were fucking flying around everywhere. And I don't remember like another time we've gotten like the 3D like this, because I feel like Levi's chase was that when him and Kenny. When Levi that was amazing. Yeah,
that was level, dope.
Yeah. But that wasn't like fully 3D. I thought this was kind of cool that they gave us a little 3D action.
Not the same scene, but Mikasa did have some badass. She had a badass moment with the sweet swordsmanship.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She like did a reverse, like she was like going backwards but forward slash these dudes. Like it was so sick.
Chopped their heads off. At first I'm like, I thought she was gonna like deflect bullets, and I was like, come on.
Yeah, she's
don't do that, but she didn't. Matrixing. She just maneuvered. Mm-hmm.
So we get to the halfway point, and then we get a quick flashback to a scene we already partly saw. They give us a full clip of it here.
Yeah.
But it's of Zeke and Aaron talking again, talking about the euthanasia plan, and how Aaron's saying here that the royal family needed to be eaten, which is very interesting, because when he was being saved by Historia, when he's in that moment, he's like, they didn't need to die, all that stuff. But in this moment, he's admitting like there is no greater salvation than never being born. So now he's on the spectrum of their death kind of helped the cause now. Like
he did say that we wouldn't be here if they didn't die.
Yeah.
So he's obviously, we learn in this episode, he's playing Zeke.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's fucking believable.
And it's funny, we get it here too. Also, when Zeke's like, Aaron, like, I can't shake your hand, but catch the ball, and just doesn't catch it.
Yeah.
That's him literally saying, fuck you, right?
That's what I thought too.
And that's why Zeke was able to triple cross him, because in that moment, he was like, Aaron just totally discarded my token of gratitude. I can tell he doesn't. agree with me. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I get that.
And
now.
That's why he had that like shocked look on his face of when Aaron was picking up the ball, and he's like, oh, I guess I've been sluggish because of the hospital. But like, that was all bullshit. Like,
Okay. I didn't realize they were posturing at that point.
It's like him spitting in his hand and like shaking his hand.
And then Zeke
like,
catches him this time to show him that he always has his back.
So that's why,
in one twisted way.
That's why I like the full picture of him dropping the ball. They show earlier him throwing it to him, but we don't see him actually accepting and catching the toss. And
I just like that Aaron line where he said the only salvation in this world is to never be born.
Yeah.
It's sad that someone gets to a point where they need to think that, but that line's kind of hard.
It was. I mean, for his purpose and everything, it fits his character. Yeah. Like, it's the perfect quote for his character in this moment.
I think that line is uncharacteristic of Aaron, if you ask me, because he even says it. He proves it later on with his conversation with Zeke. He loves life so much. That's why he has this much drive to do all this.
I think he's talking more to me. He's talking more about himself in this moment. But like also, he feels like he wants to be wrapped up in this.
Like, I feel like cycle he feels Titan this. Shit.
Yeah. Like I feel like
he wants his fucking mom back. Like he just, you know, the only salvation would be like, he is going through all of this bullshit. He didn't need to do all that.
True. I guess he feels so strongly and has all these goals, it doesn't mean he's happy to be alive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he has been forced to do this almost.
I don't think he feels that way about his friends. I just think he was saying that from his perspective. Like, and he's always said that too. He's like, I've never been born, but something along those lines.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he's always kind of rebelled against like the whole scent, like the nature of the world that he was born into.
That's true. That's why he wanted to get beyond the walls. That's why he joined the Survey Corps and everything like that, right?
Mm-hmm. And here we get Zeke actually holding Aaron's head, and then we get the crossover of memories between Aaron and it seems Zeke's memories, which in the moment is just a trippy, like it's just like a mushroom trip. You have no idea what's going on.
What do you know that? How do you know what that's like?
Very familiar.
I've seen videos. Yeah,
I've seen videos.
And then, that was good. So,
and then, awesome. And then we see Aaron at this sandy place. We see the convergence, which we find out that Zeke tells him, who was chained down to the ground, by the way, which is the coordinate. This is the coordinate.
I'm curious. So have I, it's definitely possible that I've like taken some time between watching seasons and stuff, but, and I asked this almost in the first episode, should we know like more about what the, like, or is that just supposed to be some wild concept?
I think this is the introduction. I think this is the first concrete introduction.
Like, we've definitely heard the word the coordinate before.
Yeah. Well, see, they called Aaron the coordinate.
Aaron has the ability of coordinate, like he
because he can call the Titans. Is that what the call on the Titans is?
It's directly related to that. What I'll say, I don't really think this is like a spoiler.
Honestly, I would probably rather just get into it by watching it, and then we can come back to this conversation and then kind of explain it that way.
No, but I think
I'm okay with being completely in the dark about it.
I don't think it has been fully. It hasn't. They haven't dived into it.
Yeah, I'm really curious about the concept of the paths. Everyone's paths converge into one point, which is the coordinate.
Hey, maybe someone from the audience can leave in the comments and tell us, clear some things up for us.
Yeah, do you think we should tell Kyle what this is?
I'm just curious. When it gets into the sense of like destiny and like free will, because they talked about it a little bit with Mikasa, how does she have free will? And if it's like everyone's paths are predetermined meeting at this one point, that's me, stream of consciousness.
Basically, that's the coordinate. Aaron, it's deeply tied to the Eldians. Yeah. And that Aaron has the ability to basically control that coordinate, which
allows he can move it around.
Yeah.
He impacts the world so much that the coordinate changes. Put it on the board.
Okay. It's an interesting take. You're not, I can't say much. Wrong, but you're not right. Like,
that's like me listening to you guys talk about Wheel of Time.
Yeah.
Where like you just kind of say some interesting stuff. And I'm like, I wish I could comment on that, but I can't.
All right. So they're at this staring contest part right now, but a third party is introduced and we find out that it is the founder Ymir. She has appeared in this like childish form. She doesn't really have a personality, it seems like she's just this like enigma that's walking towards them.
She reminded me of, like a zombie.
Yeah, she was a zombie. Like she didn't really have eyes, to be honest.
She was just very like downcast eyes, like shadow casting over them, just kind of slowly, mechanically moving along. Like there's not, you know, she's not thinking about anything.
Zeke tells Aaron that they have reached the founding Titan, and it's time to put their plan it's time to complete their plan. Rather, he tells Aaron to tell Ymir that the euthanasian plan should, I can't pronounce that word right now.
Yeah,
euthanasia.
Yeah, he basically tells Aaron
euthanasia.
He tells Aaron to tell her to make all the Eldians sterile so that they can't have kids.
Correct.
And Aaron's
fuck them.
Well, we've had this conversation too of like the euthanization.
Now I've got you stumbling.
Is like a somewhat of a mistranslation.
Mm-hmm. Sterilization. Yeah. Should be the better term. Yeah. But before we get into the first double cross, I want to talk about the conversation that Zeke is having with Aaron while he's chained up. I guess didn't pay attention too great to the sentences that he was saying, but essentially the chains were the royal blood. What he's telling Aaron is that the chains that were holding him down was essentially the royal blood chains, and that he can't talk to Ymir because of the royal blood in him, or like because
King Fritz's original
because of his ideals and that those are what are chains.
There was not non-aggression, but like the anti-war,
renouncing
war vow. It was the renouncing war vow, is what it was.
Okay.
That's what he claimed.
Right. That's what he claimed at first, and so Aaron. This is where we get the double cross. It's so ridiculous. He gets the double cross and Aaron tells him, fuck your plan. Why would I ever have agreed to that? And Zeke's
proves Armin right.
See, I was saying
like Armin was smoking a decent amount of copium in the beginning, but he definitely figured it out. He was right.
Armin's next to Erwin's the smartest guy in the show.
And I'm glad it's like that. Because I, you know, declared myself a Jaegerist because I know.
It's a perfect balance.
I trust Aaron.
They're a good balance for each other. I really, and
yeah,
it's good. Yes, that we got that confirmation for Armin, that Armin can still have faith in Aaron. It's unfortunate that he couldn't witness this moment.
And they did a good job of showing the boys back Aaron up when he was running to Zeke right before he got shot.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was cool, like, to see him kind of reunite in that little moment. Sorry, it's a little unrelated to part of the episode, but yeah, they ride or dies.
Yeah. And then here,
so that's the first double cross.
So Aaron reaches out to Ymir and is like, let me use your power. I need your power to accomplish my goals. And she continues walking past him. And Zeke at the time was putting on his acting face and was just like, why, Aaron? Why would you do this to me?
Nani?
But we get the triple cross here. And Zeke had, apparently, we don't know why the time moves like it does in this realm, wherever we are. But Zeke had been waiting for Aaron for, it seemed like millennia almost. And in that time, he was able to come up with this plan. He was able to renounce
the vow
of King Fritz, and was able to free himself and control Ymir's power, because now that he wasn't chained by it, he was able to use it since he is royal blood.
Yeah. She's apparently drawn to those with royal blood. She basically is praises them.
I couldn't tell if that was like
Ackerman's.
Yeah, like an Ackerman.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, sure.
I was curious if that was like the time that she spent there like broke her in that way, or that was like a consequence of like what she had done by like being the founding. She's the OG founding Titan, right?
She was the first.
This power, but this is the drawback, that like that's what's waiting for you afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I guess it could be a combination of both.
We'll get into it a lot more. We will get into the backstory of the founding Titan. It's really great backstory of, I mean, all backstory here is incredible.
That was crazy when you first learn it in the first place, that like the actual history of the world.
Right. By like, what's his face? The Tiber guy?
By Willie Tiber.
Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know. I more like what's in the basement.
Oh, true.
I feel like when you learn all that stuff and you start to like, when the world expands, so there's a different country that's like trying to basically like are assaulting or invading almost the paradise.
True. One thing I'll say about the time moving in the coordinate, scale, I just see it as like, you know how they say your life flashes before, like my life flashed before your my eyes when death or whatever. Mm. The last time we saw Zeke in this moment in the coordinate, and he even said it, was when he was almost killed by Levi and she built his legs out of the sand or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, it's just like, I see it the same thing. It's just, they're in a, there's, it's two, it's like what, 25 seconds of real time, but their life is flashing before their eyes.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
It didn't seem like he spent that much time there though, that time when he got his body rebuilt.
No, but he does, but it's maybe not as long as this moment, but he says like, I don't even know how long I've been here. Like how long has she been?
I'm pretty sure he uses
my legs.
The phrase like time untold this time. He's like, I've just been here. Basically. Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
Well, they showed his nails long, which I thought
I didn't catch that. His nails were really long to imply
that he's been there for a while.
His facial hair was way thicker. Yeah. His hair was longer. And that brings us to the end of the episode where he's like, Aaron, I'm going to save you from our vile father, grabs him by the head, and they clash heads, and we get that spark of electricity that we kind of see when Reiner touches Galliard. So this isn't a spoiler. We're going to get some flashbacks here. We're going to get some memories, basically, is what we're getting into.
We said it multiple times, but the fucking first half was insane. And then once we got into like this paths and stuff, like it felt like it just flew by. They were just throwing so much good information at us that like, I wish this episode was like double the length that it was. Cause I just want to know what that stuff is so much, but we'll find out.
I think when we come out of,
I remember being upset. It ended and was like, what?
When we come out of these next couple episodes, I'm pretty sure we'll have a better idea of what coordinate is. And I just want to reiterate to everyone listening and watching that, even though Alki and I have read, by no means do we understand what anything happened. Mm-hmm. Like, it was such a complicated story, and like the dimensions of every character and what everyone's role was is just so confusing. And it, again, sorry to say this for the millionth time, but reading month to month just didn't help. I was telling Kyle too.
I remember rereading those panels, chapter, like multiple times to try to understand what the heck I just read.
Yeah, I was telling.
A lot of it's trying to remember what the heck happened before.
Yeah,
too, because you can't sit there and read like five chapters in one sitting just to recap. And the chapters are long; they're like 50 pages. And
especially here when they're all a lot of words.
It's a lot of words. Yeah,
politics
exactly.
And But I was telling Kyle, kind of related to what you're saying, is before this episode is when I was reading the manga of Attack on Titan, I had read basically up to the chapter right before Eren gets his head blown off. I took like a few months off of reading to let the chapters build. I get to the point where Eren's
huge
head is,
mistake.
Yeah, I get to this point and then I get to them teleporting to the coordinate and I'm like, am I even reading Attack on Titan right now? I'm like, what is happening? I just don't remember anything and I didn't even register everything that was going on before that well either. So I was at a complete loss. I was like, this is probably when I was reading, I was like, I have no idea what's happening. I am not crazy about this anymore. But that was just because I just didn't understand
it. You didn't feel the impact because of all the time that went
by. And so this episode was incredible. Let's go around and do our ratings. We'll start as always with our rookie Kyle and we'll go from there.
This is a 10 out of 10. I just can't imagine an episode like for the episodes that are out right now in the series. This is a 10 out of 10. Like, I guess we'll maybe be able to compare it to episodes at the end of the season, but this is a 10 out of 10. I don't know how, like, it just was start to finish. Every second was my eyes were fucking glued on the screen. I was having to remember to breathe. Like, it was like ridiculous. It was one of the best episodes of Attack on Titan I've ever seen in my life.
Alki?
Only because of what you just said, we haven't seen the rest of the show.
Yeah,
I won't give it a 10 out of 10, but I would say 9 out of 10 for sure. It's the best episode of this. I think it's the overall best episode of season 4, part 1 and 2 combined.
Yeah.
And I was saying to Dave upstairs, I think this is the episode we've got where we've got so we've gotten the most information in this episode. It's like, it's just great. Seeing this, like learning about the past, Emir, all this stuff is great. Yeah. So I would say a 9 out of 10, because of what happened. Like I said, it covered so much content from the manga and it did a good job of actually covering anything. I don't think they glossed over any details really. It's they 9 out of 10, maybe even a 9.5 out of 10.
Yeah. I was going to say my answer would easily be a 9 and it could easily be a 10. I'd have to wait to see these episodes come out. Like I could come back and watch this episode be like, this is a 10. That's out weak. Of 10. I mean, we get
a weak way to rate
all the twists that we get this episode from just like Pyxis and Falco transforming into Titans, Eren getting his head blown off, the introduction of the coordinate and the founding Titan, like
the original double cross and Zeke's triple
and then
cross.
The triple cross. Like this, you can't ask for much more content in an episode of any kind
Galliard
of television.
Sacrifice, Falco's the Jaw Titan.
You get death.
Like, dude, this
you
episode
get death
was
action. Yeah, so I'll give it a 9.5 at that. And that was just the best episode by far. And these next couple episodes I was telling Kyle are going to be just, well, I was telling Alki while Kyle stepped away for a second. And I reminded him where the story's going to be going in these next couple of episodes. And his face was priceless. He was like, are going to be.
It's insane. This is where the story. This is where the point where when I was reading, I realized like how insane this story is. It's beyond just like an anime and manga. It has
good,
none
bad.
Of the basic
it's good
tropes.
And bad.
Yeah. It's a deep story, man. It's like a real it reads and it watches like a real people show, like something like Game of Thrones or something.
Yeah, it does.
It has that sort of like wow factor.
Yeah.
It's really unique in all anime. Cause obviously I love One Piece and all these other animes and they get me hype and fired up and they're inspiring and all this stuff, but you are still reminded by those gags or whatever that, you know, it's a cartoon. Yeah. Like it's a cartoon. It's great. The plot's thick, but it's a cartoon. This is not, I don't even want to consider this like a cartoon at all. You know,
this is one of the best TV shows.
Yeah, it's just a good show. It's not a good anime. It's just like a good show.
I agree. I just thought of this while you guys were talking about that this episode is like a perfect encapsulation of what Attack on Titan is. Like the first half, like that gritty, like human level emotion of like these decisions and these things that they have to do. And like the level of loss that they experience, is like what makes the show great.
Yeah, on a daily basis.
Yeah, but then the second half of the episode with now all this Path and Corden stuff, like I want to know so much about that too.
Yes.
So like it was just like a picture perfect episode.
Like, yeah,
it was,
like
it was what I love about the show and then also giving me what I want to know about the show which and then love in the future. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
That's what I couldn't get out. That's why I couldn't get out earlier. It's like this, the information we're about to learn is yeah. stuff we didn't even, we couldn't even
oh.
think existed.
No, it was not.
You know what I'm
was,
saying?
It wasn't even in like the universe that was right outside of the box of possibilities that yeah, I was thinking no, about. Yeah, yeah. Like we're just somewhere completely different.
Yeah.
The world is not like, it's so funny because the world is black and white almost in the show, but it's 90% gray. And then there's some 80% gray and like, it's just different tones of gray, but the world is black and white here. It's just so dark and just, there's really rarely a moment. If ever do these people ever have good memories? There's just,
yeah, yeah, nothing really good ever happens. Everything that's good is very fleeting. Mm-hmm. It's always like in a, like seeing someone again, or like maybe like a nice piece of bread, or yeah. like for Levi, like a clean kitchen. Like it's like little shit like that.
At least well,
everything
a clean
else,
kitchen.
Everything else just takes an absolute dump.
Sasha gets a piece of sausage,
a raw potato, yeah. and she's like, "Let's go."
At least in season four, there's only like even three and four. One part one and two, there's only two moments that stand out to me is when they arrive at the beach, which is even quickly ruined by Aaron just being like, the enemy is just right beyond.
Yeah, like a total psycho.
Yeah, and the yeah. second one is when they're all eating dinner right before they're all about to die from the Beast Titan. Like it's, yeah, these moments ridiculous. Aren't even that great. So this show is incredible. If you've been watching with us, we hope you're enjoying it as much as we have. This is Bingetown TV. Be sure to check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, the works. We got it all out there.
Insta?
Yeah.
Yeah, check us out on Insta, definitely. It was a blast. That episode was great. It's yeah. fun to do this in person.
And this like is this. Fun. I think yeah, this yeah, is fun
to do it in person.
Yeah,
like yeah the camera's good. Yeah.
Honestly, I kind of miss Commander Irwin. That's the last thing I'm going to say. I'm just curious what he would be like in this battle.
I'll pour one out for that.
Yeah, I miss him too. I would have been sweet if he became a Titan.
He might have been too OP though.
Like what
like he might have just had, he probably killed him off because it's like, this guy is going to have you too know big what's of an funny? Impact.
Last episode, we talked about freaking, what's her name? The Titan... The Titan freak, the girl, the
Hanji.
Woman. Hanji. No, and we totally, freak. We totally
forgot. I was like, who are you talking about?
That actually made me realize that it was Hanji.
And we didn't even talk about, we didn't even, her name or face did not even come across my mind within the last now, 4 hours.
Honestly, I haven't thought about Levi since I just made that kitchen thing.
Yeah. And,
like, where's he? Like, this,
what's going to happen?
He's not even in the episode, and it's 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. The first non Levi episode that's a 10 out of 10.
Well, you were 9. Yeah, don't come in this fucking boat. Oh, don't come in this boat of the OGs who love it. 10 out of 10. You're going right. to come back and be like, that was a 10 out of 10.
All right. Shinzo Sasagero. Let's
go.
Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.